The wait is over. Prophecies are fulfilled. A virgin conceived. Angels have spoken. Stars have appeared. Christ our God to earth descended. Yes, a child is born. We haven't arrived at our destination. Or have we?
Well, we still have a journey ahead of us, but when the cosmos ripped open that night and God condensed himself into the form of a baby, the whole world wondered the same. Now what? Jesus answered that question by his very presence. Emmanuel, God with us, he will walk with us to the end.
We pray. Oh God, what a great God you are, creator of the vast universe and yet mindful of a single sparrow. Cause us not to be afraid of this dark world around us, but to know that with you, in you, we are well loved and together. We will endure. No virus, no pain, no weapon that's formed against you will stand. Thank you for such a wonderful gift. We thank you in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Emmanuel, God with us. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand.
All that we've been focusing on for
the past four Sundays is about this night. And at Sunrise Church, we have been looking this Advent season at the notion, the idea. The title of our Advent series is A Signpost to a Savior. And of course, everything that happens in the Advent season, all the things that we look to, all the things, the messages that we hear, are all serving as a signpost. Now, what is a signpost? A signpost isn't a destination. A signpost points to a destination. A signpost might pronounce or announce or proclaim that you arrived at the corner of 8th and 4th Street. Or 9th, that's 8th and 4th, that's 9th and 4th over there. The sign might say, Sunrise Church, a Christian Reformed congregation. But of course, nobody comes and stands by the sign. Right? Now, maybe someone should go check. Maybe there are people out by the sign. I don't think so. But maybe Daryl Driver was sending an email to the folks from St. Francis, and he said, we're meeting at the corner of 9th and 4th. So maybe there's a bunch of people from St. Francis out by the sign. But I don't think so. The signpost points. And so, the whole Christmas story is one signpost after another. The Virgin is a signpost to the child that she bears. Joseph receiving a dream is a signpost to the son that he will adopt. The shepherds who keep watch over their flocks by night point to the Messiah, the angels that announced glory to God in the highest are a signpost to the Savior. Well, of course that's true. But not only that, but those magi that came upwards to a year after Jesus was born, also a signpost to who Jesus would be. And that star that guided them. Even King Herod, ironically, is a signpost. He's the second pharaoh. He's the second ruler to kill innocent children because he does not want the competition to his lordship. And yet, his violence and his disobedience and his idolatry of himself is just a signpost to the King who is the King of Kings and the Lord who is the Lord of Lords. So we come tonight and we're reminded of these things. And it's in Luke chapter 2 that we have this most beautiful picture of this nativity scene. Starting in verse 4, it says, Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. That's a signpost. And the prophets that proclaimed it to Israel for centuries, they too were signposts. Because he, Joseph, was of a house in the lineage of David, and David was a signpost, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. And the manger is a signpost. Because there was no room for for them in the end. Guess what that was? A signpost. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a signpost for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." See, I told you the manger was a signpost. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" That's the story. And that's the signpost to the Christ child. And so, as Solomon said, we have arrived. Or have. Yeah, it's true that all of these things point to Christ. All of these things point to the baby that is born. But is the baby the ultimate destination? And of course the answer is no. It's not just that there's a Messiah, a king. It's not just that there's Emmanuel, God with us, this child born, as beautiful as that is, and an awesome thought as it is for us to contemplate and consider, and it's beautiful when we sing these songs, and Mary, did you know, and what she pondered in her heart, what she stored up, and all the things that she thought. But that's not the point either. Because that baby would grow. And he would become the one they called Rabbi. And he would teach. And what is it that he taught? He taught about the law of God. He now proclaimed the Beatitudes on the mountain, just like Moses proclaimed the law from the mountain. He talked about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven has come near to you. The kingdom of God is within you. And they said to him, "Teacher, Rabbi, which is the greatest of the commandments?" And he said, "It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." Summary of the first four commandments. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself. A summary of the last commandments. And so he taught the truth, and he proclaimed the kingdom of God. The reign and the rule of God over all of creation. That's what he came to do. And of course, he wasn't just the rabbi, but he was the rabbi who hung out with women and children in a time where no man of authority, no man of renowned, upstanding position would have much to do with women and children. They were to be, after all, seen but not heard. But Jesus said, "Don't keep the little ones from coming to me." And amongst his disciples, not the 12, but that next circle, there were many women, which was radical for that day. It was a notion that was groundbreaking. It was upside down. It was challenging culture. But those who would follow Jesus, it wasn't about their sexual identity. It was about his call on their life. He's not only the rabbi, and the rabbi who hangs out with women and children, but he's also the healer. Who makes whole the leper, and unstops the ears of the deaf, and gives sight to the blind, and calls the lame to leap for joy. And he sets free the demoniacs. And so he has all authority in heaven and earth. He has authority over the winds and the waves, and over the spiritual powers, and over illness. And from the tomb, he calls forth Lazarus. So he has authority over death itself. Is that what the signpost was for? Maybe. Of course. Yes. But there's more. You know, those magi came and they traveled a long way. We don't know how long. We don't even really know where they came from. They saw a star rising in the east and it came and rested over Palestine, and for probably upwards to a year they followed it because it pointed to the birth of a king. And when they got there, they went to the king. And they said, "Hey, where's the one?" And they said that, "Hey," that it's not, you'd have to look at the actual translation that's actually there. "Hey, King Herod. Herod the Great, nice humble name you've given yourself. Where's the one who is born King of the Jews? We want to know so that we can go and worship." And yet, while that is a signpost, and all the shenanigans that Herod did to dissuade them and wants to manipulate them and use their knowledge so that he can have this King of the Jews murdered, all of that comes to nothing in a while. All of that is a signpost to Christ. Those who came to worship him, well, in that Mark chapter 10, you might remember, like verse 35 and following, two of his disciples, brothers, James and John, come and they say, sent by their mother, "Go to the master, go to the rabbi, and ask that when we come into the kingdom of heaven, if you, one of you can sit at his right and one at his left." And of course, Jesus uses this as a teaching time. And he says, "Of course you don't understand it, and don't be like the Gentiles who lord it over one another." And then he says this, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve." Even though the Magi traveled thousands of miles to come and worship him, that is not why he came. He did not come to be served and worshiped. He'll be served and worshiped for eternity. Amen. But he said that he came to give his life as a ransom for many. And so all the things that we do, we light candles, and it's beautiful. And we sing songs, and they're lovely. And we buy gifts for one another, out of a heart of love for who other people are. And we give gifts because we were given a gift in Christ. And these are all wonderful things. Well, all of those things point to Jesus. And Jesus came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And that's what we do here. Tonight we remember that he gave his life as a ransom for us. We celebrate communion on Christmas Eve because the one who came as the cute little baby Jesus is the one who came to be murdered, not only by the Romans, but by the Sanhedrin. and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. He came to fulfill 333 prophecies in the Old Testament. The fact that one man could somehow fulfill 333 prophecies made about him in other languages, in other cultures, in other times, for hundreds of years, the mathematical odds are staggering. And yet he did. He came to be the Messiah, the one who would set God's people free. He came to be the King of Israel. He came to be the fulfillment of the law. He came to be the Passover lamb. He came to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's what we worship him for. That he gave his life as a ransom for many. That he has not just paid the penalty of our sin, but that he has ascended to the Father's right hand and is seated on his heavenly throne, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And we will gather again, Anglicans and Baptists and Reformed and Catholics and all who proclaim Jesus as Lord. We will gather around the throne room and we will cry out, "Holy, holy, holy is the God who was, who is, and who is to come." Forever and ever and ever. So I ask you, will you be a signpost? The reality is we are signposts. We all point to something. Our lives represent something. What do you represent? To whom do you point? What is the foundational truth that marks your life?